Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We've tried to keep up with all these Indians trades today. My goodness, all over the place. They're, you know, slashing salary any way they can. So, again, the trading deadline ended at 4 p.m., but we just got word of the Jordan Luplo one not too long ago from Andre, a caller in San Diego. We saw it on the Major League Baseball Network. So if there are any other trades that happened that haven't been made public, we will let you know. But we're going to switch gears and talk some football right now by going to the Wake 'em Way hotline, and we bring in the outstanding Browns beat reporter at brownzone.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Scott Petrak. He is Scott Petrak. Scotty, thanks for joining us. How are you, pal?
I'm good, Kenny. How are you?
Always great to hear from you from training camp. It has officially started, Scotty. So what has stood out, I guess, in the first 3 days since they started with the official workouts on Wednesday to you?
Yeah, you know, I would have to start with OBJ, Kenny. I know we talked about him a lot, but I'll tell you what, he looks good. Now, he hasn't done a lot of teamwork, and he didn't practice Thursday, but he's out there Wednesday. He's out there today, and he just looks phenomenal. And, I know you see a lot of pro athletes, and they recover quicker than the normal people, but Odell recovers quicker than even the best athletes. He's just something else, and I think – you know, if he stays healthy, he could have a real big year.
It reminds me of Rod Woodson. Remember Rod Woodson with the Steelers? Yeah. He tore his ACL at the beginning of the season and was able to play for them in the Super Bowl. So I guess when you're an elite athlete, right, when you're a specimen, Scotty, the chances of you coming back sooner and maybe stronger are pretty good, and that's what OBJ it looks to be showing, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think that's right, and I think there's, you know, a lot of work ethic involved, and a lot of desire to come back, and you've seen the social media videos with Odell in the gym and on the treadmill and on the field, and he puts everything into it, and I think it really paid off because watching him run around, he looks as good as new.
All right, for me, what I'm going to be keeping an eye on through reading all of your material at brownzone.com, the videos you put up, following you on Twitter and others, is the defense and how this defense comes together. So I know it's only 3 days, Scotty, but give us an idea of what the looks have been out there with some of these new players who first team reps, second team reps, share that with us.
Yeah. The starting defense for the most part has been Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney at end, Malik Jackson and Andrew Billings at tackle, Taki Taki, Mac Wilson and Anthony Walker, the junior linebacker, Greedy Williams and Denzel Ward at corner, and John Johnson III and Ronnie Harrison Jr. at safety. So, you know, they're kind of making the rookies earn it, right? We haven't seen Greg Newsome out there with the ones a ton. We've seen him a little bit. JOK, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah is on the COVID list still, so he's not out here getting any snaps. But, you know, so there's a handful of new guys in there and then a handful of holdovers from last year.
Tell me what you've seen from Greedy Williams to this point.
Yeah, it was interesting. On Wednesday, the first day of camp, he makes a real nice breakup on and out to Rashard Higgins. And I got to tell you that, you know, they're not in pads yet. They'll be in pads for the first time Tuesday. You know, it's this acclimation period. They're real, you know, they're installing offense and defense. So there's not a ton of action. You know, we get some 7-on-7s. We get a little bit of 11-on-11 that doesn't feel like it's totally full speed. So there's not a billion highlights today. But in that day, Greedy makes a breakup, and then on the next play, Anthony Schwartz, the rookie receiver, runs by him and has to hold up a little bit because Baker underthrew him a bit but still catches it. And then Greedy left toward the end of practice, and it wound up, the Browns said it was a heat-related issue. Greedy tweeted and said, no. He goes, I was fine. The trainers are just kind of overcautious. And then he was back out there yesterday and back out there today. And, you know, I know Greedy was inconsistent as a rookie in 2019. Obviously didn't play at all last year, but there's talent there. I mean, he's a big, lanky corner. You know, I like that in a corner. I mean, I know you have to have quickness, but obviously he does too. I like that size out there. And I think if he stays healthy and if when they get to contact next week, the shoulder holds up, because that's still a question mark, I think it's going to be an interesting battle with him and the first-round pick, Greg Newsom, the second. I really do. You know, I would give the edge to Newsom because he's a first-round pick,
right,
and this regime drafted him. But I don't think it's a gimme that he wins the job over Greedy Williams. And I also think there's a chance that Newsom could be your slot corner because the coaching staff has worked him inside as well as outside.
Talking with Scotty Petrak, and you can follow him on Twitter, and I urge you to, Browns fans, at Scott Petrak. Check out the website, brownzone.com, on a daily basis, so you're up to date on everything that's happening with training camp. You mentioned JOK out with the COVID issue. When is he due back, and how much is this hurting him not to be there from the get-go as a second-round pick?
Well, you know, the rule states it's 10 days. The test came back positive Sunday. You know, so it's always kind of fuzzy, but I would think Tuesday or Wednesday, assuming there aren't any symptoms, and he said he didn't have any symptoms. That's what he tweeted. Now, of course, they could crop up. But assuming that he's still asymptomatic and the 10 days pass, you know, middle of next week. And, you know, the good thing is he'll only maybe miss a practice or two of in pads,
okay,
right? But, you know, for a rookie especially, it's tough when you miss a week of practice and you miss the installs. Now, he's still in meetings through Zoom, right? Virtually, he's in there. Kevin Stefanski said the assistant coaches are trying to keep him up to speed as much as possible. But, you know, Andrew Berry, the GM, we talked to him today, and I think he encapsulated it pretty well. He said, it's not ideal, but it's not a death sentence. So, you know, I think that kind of sums it up, and you hope that he can get up to speed, because obviously the Browns are counting on him to play a big role this year.
Scotty, let's go there then with Andrew Berry, and I'm curious. I'm sure you guys peppered him with a ton of questions, and a couple of them probably were about the contract status with Baker Mayfield. So how did he handle that? What did he say about where they're at?
Yeah, more than a couple questions, and he didn't really budge. You know, he said, I'm not going to talk about him. Individual negotiations through the media, I don't think it's appropriate. You know, said a bunch of good things about Baker. Said he expects him to have another good year. Says if he performs well, and there's another thing there, you know, if he keeps to himself, or I forget, there's a first one, but if he performs well,
yeah,
and whatever, which you'd expect him to do, everything will work out fine, you know, and he'll take that next step. And you know, that's the belief of the Browns. They believe he's going to continue to get better. I believe that they're convinced that he's the long-term answer quarterback. Now, there's other things in play when you talk about an extension that could be worth, you know, upward of $200 million, right? If it's 5 years at ballpark $40 million, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that Josh Allen in Buffalo and Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, I think the fact that they have not signed extensions yet factors into the fact that we don't have any really negotiations right now between Baker and his agents. You know, I think the fact that Baker hasn't had a great full season. You know, he played really well over the last 8, 10, 12 games last year, but before that struggled a little bit. We know how bad 2019 was for him.
Right.
That there's some, I don't know if there's any anxiety on the Browns' part, but I could understand some hesitation to give him a contract that big. So I think these things are all factors, but I also expect something to get done. It's just a question of, does it get done by week one? Could it happen during the season and Andrew Berry left the door open for that? Or do they wait until next offseason? And I think all three things, all three timelines are possible.
Anything on Nick Chubb? Because he's a second-round pick, so it's a four-year
right
thing versus a five-year thing.
No, Andrew did not get into specifics, but I think it makes a big difference, Kenny, that you know the Browns did not have a fifth-year option on him. Therefore, this is his last year on the deal. And I think that provides a lot more urgency. And I would not be surprised at all if you saw a Nick Chubb contract before week one. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw it at some point during the preseason or even before the first preseason game. I just feel like the Browns know that they need to re-sign Chubb, and you're better off doing it sooner. Because we all know that the closer a guy gets to free agency, usually the closer he is to leaving.
Yeah, and I saw the over-unders for Chubb in Vegas, 1,350 yards rushing and 12 total touchdowns, so they might be better off doing it before the season starts than after the season because they'd have to pay him based on numbers, too. Scotty Petrak, our guest via the Wake 'Em Way hotline, talking Browns training camp. Let's go back to Baker. That's what was said by Andrew Berry, the general manager. What did Baker say to you guys when you asked him about the contract situation?
Yeah, I don't think it came up the other day when we had him out here, but last week we talked to him at his youth football camp and it came up. And he repeated the line that he's focused on winning, and if that happens, everything else will take care of itself. And that's true, right? I mean, if Baker takes the Browns to, you know, the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl, there's no way the Browns don't sign him to a contract extension, right? So, yeah. And I think we saw that last year when the fact that he got into the playoffs and won their first playoff game in 26 years, that goes a long way to saying, yes, we can trust this guy to be our franchise quarterback. So he's saying all the right things. I really believe that Baker is not anxious about the contract. You know, he believes in himself. I think he feels he'll go out and he'll play really well this year. And if the contract doesn't happen before this season, he'll play well and he'll earn a lot more money for, you know, when the contract happens next season. So I don't sense any anxiety on Baker's part or the part of his representatives. I think it's just a matter of finding that right dollar amount that he and the Browns can agree on.
What about football? What did Baker say about himself in this season and his expectations in year number four, year number two in the same offense with the same head coach and OC?
Sure. He said, I know I can play a lot better. He said he thought he did a better job protecting the ball and making good reads in the second half of the season, and I think that showed up in the stats, right? 11 touchdowns and only one interception. But he wants to take another step in protecting the ball and making good decisions. And the fact is, when you surround a quarterback with the talent that Baker is surrounded with, from Odell to Jarvis Landry to the tight ends to Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, and probably the best offensive line in football, you know, I think you don't have to do too much, right? We talk about game manager, and I think Baker accepts that. And he says, hey, I just have to get the ball to these guys. I don't have to carry this offense. I don't have to do too much. And I think he realizes that, and he's good with that. And he knows that the numbers will come, but more importantly, the wins will come, and that's when the money will come.
Does he get enough credit, Scotty, for what he did last year when they lost their top wide receiver? Now, yeah. I'm a believer that he was better without OBJ because he wasn't forcing it. But that was one of the playmakers they took away from him, and he helped them get to the playoffs for the first time since 2002 and actually win a playoff game. So does he get enough credit for what he did last year or no?
No, that's a good point, Kenny. I would say no. I know there's plenty of naysayers around the country.
Yep.
I know even around town you hear people nitpick Baker. And I get it. He's not perfect. And he hasn't been perfect. And you can point to struggles last year and especially 2019. But you make a good point. You know, you talk about, oh, he's got all these weapons, which he does. But there were times last year where he's thrown to a banged up Jarvis Landry coming off hip surgery and had broken ribs.
Yeah.
You have Donovan Peoples-Jones who didn't play that much and was a 6th-round pick. You have Rashard Higgins, who I know people love Rashard Higgins, and, man, he's made plays, but he's still Rashard Higgins, who's not a game-breaker, doesn't do anything super special. And you got Kadarius Hodge, right? It wasn't a murderer's row when you take Odell out of the equation.
Right.
You know, I like it better this year with, you know, DPJ coming back for a second year. I think he's got a potential to be good, and you got Anthony Schwartz and obviously Odell back. But you're right. He had to overcome some things last year, for sure, and I thought he did a really good job with that. I thought you saw big strides when they played at Tennessee, and they came out and said, we're going to trust Baker to throw early, and he threw it great, and the Browns got that huge lead in the first half. And I think you saw more Baker winning when he dropped back and threw. It wasn't all play action. It wasn't all move him out of the pocket. So I definitely think, you know, to quote Alex Van Pelder, to borrow a phrase, the arrow is pointing up with Baker.
Well put. Scotty Petrak, our guest, talking Browns football from Browns training camp. Day 3 today out there in Berea. Tuesday will be first full pad workout day for the Brownies. What about the kicker? I want to ask you about the kicker because I saw all over Twitter yesterday that Cody Parkey was 1 for 5.
Nice job, you f***! kicker.
Yeah,
nice job.
Yeah, he was 1 for 5 in field goals, and they brought somebody in to challenge him. Where are we with the effing kicker?
Yeah, that was the only day they've kicked. I mean, they kick every day, but that was during the practice with everybody watching. That was the only field goal period of the 3 days. And Parkey goes 1 for 5, and Chase McLaughlin goes 5 for 5. And Parkey hit one off the right upright. He missed one wide right. He missed one, I think, two wide left. So it wasn't like he had a consistent miss. He was all over the place. And, you know, it's the first drill of training camp.
Right.
You can't base everything on it. But, you know, kickers don't usually go 1 for 5, right?
Right.
And if your opponent, and it is a competition, every kicker battle, every, you know, training camp when you have two kickers, it's a competition to some degree. And I really believe the Browns are having Chase McLaughlin as a competition. It's not just to kind of take the workload off of Parkey. I think it's a legitimate competition. You know, it's a rough start for Parkey, and I think it opens the door a bit for McLaughlin. You know, and Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski today said, hey, you know, we're not getting ahead of ourselves. Cody Parkey was good last year. He's got a track record. But it's no way to start.
If they believed in him wholeheartedly, McLaughlin wouldn't be there. I'll just say that, okay? So we'll see how that plays out through the rest of training camp. I just thought that was interesting from day one. Also saw where the president of the Players Association, J.C. Treader, had some comments about what the NFL is trying to do with vaccines. Where are we right now, you know, with that? And did they give a number as to how many or what the percentage is of Browns players that have been vaccinated?
Yeah, Andrew Berry finally did today. He said it's 90% for players fully vaccinated and players that have started the vaccination process. So I think there's guys that, whether they came to camp and got their first shot and now have to wait a week to get the second shot, or got, you know, the J&J and now they have to wait 14 days to count as full vaccination. They're on that path. And that's a huge number, right? And
yeah.
I think that speaks highly of the Browns. It speaks well of the Browns. You know, Treader and the Browns, Kevin Stefanski said it too. They don't want this issue to divide the team. And we've seen it become divisive in society. There's no question. And we've seen it with the Buffalo Bills, right? Cole Beasley and Jerry Hughes went back at Cole Beasley on Twitter, and there were strong comments both ways. And the Browns are being really careful to not let that happen. And I think that's a wise move, and I think it's important. The other part of it is, J.C. Treader talked about the wristbands that the Steelers wear or have worn and the Buccaneers have worn that designate, depending on what color you wear, whether you've been vaccinated or not. And the Browns aren't doing that. And Treader thinks that's a good idea. And he said it's nonsensical to have guys wear the wristbands. Teams know who's vaccinated or not. You have to wear a mask in the building if you're not. The Browns keep the information on the lanyards because the protocols are different inside the building for vaccinated players and unvaccinated players. But, you know, since even last year, I know the Browns had some issues at the end of the season with missing some guys. But organizationally, I think they've done a really good job handling the pandemic and dealing with everything that goes along with that. And then they've been out front and vocal about, yes, we think everybody should be vaccinated, and the players finally listened.
Scott Petrek, our guest via the Wake 'Em Way hotline, live from Browns training camp in Berea, day 3 today. Scotty, what about with you guys in the media? What's the NFL doing with media covering the games this year?
Well, we were in the press box last year.
Right.
So the press box, we'll be back in the press box this year, but you do have to be vaccinated to be in the press box. And interviews are in person now. So this week is the first time I've talked face-to-face with Kevin Stefanski since the combine. And that goes for Andrew Berry. It goes for most players, you know, unless you ran into him somewhere. You went to, you know, Baker's camp or Odell's youth football camp.
Right.
So it's nice to be back in front of these guys. There's no doubt about it. That's expected to continue during the season, where I don't think we're not going to have access to the locker room, or at least that's the plan right now. But you can get guys outside after games. You can get them in, like, the interview room where you're far enough away, for, you know, socially distanced from the subject. So hopefully it continues. Hopefully, you know, the virus doesn't get much worse and we can keep these protocols, because it does make a difference to be able to talk to somebody, and we can get one-on-one interviews starting next week. All those things that we were missing last year.
All right, you mentioned Kevin Stefanski, and we'll end here with him. In talking with Stefanski this week a few times already, the thing that concerns me a little bit about this team is how will they handle the hype? Because we're seeing they're one of the top three or four teams in the AFC. Their Super Bowl odds are higher than they've been since they've returned in 1999. Is Kevin Stefanski worried about that, or what is he doing to make sure that isn't an issue?
Yeah, it's certainly been a topic of conversation. And, you know, how he's dealing with it is he's telling guys to focus on the work. And, you know, it gets kind of trite, and you hear it over and over, and I know he's got it written in the building on a bunch of signs. But I think it goes from the point of, okay, when you first hear it, hey, it resonates, and then you get, you know, kind of sick of it, and it's like, whatever, we've heard this before. But then I think it almost crosses back over to, man, this guy really means it. Right? When he says it every meeting and every day, and that's his mantra, I think that does resonate with guys, especially in this type of situation. Everybody's talking about the Super Bowl and how good they were last year, and he just wants to talk about the work. And I think that message has gotten through to at least the guys that we've talked to, you know, the team leaders that they trot out for us the first few days. You know, maybe not every guy listens, and some guys' heads get big, but I really do feel like the mindset is in the right spot, and I think you can contrast it with where it was in 2019 when Freddie Kitchens was a coach. And I think that coaching staff and maybe the organization in general did a bad job of controlling the hype. And I think they obviously had not done nearly enough to deserve it compared to what this team did last year, right, going to the playoffs and winning a playoff game. They were 7-8-1. But the hype still ran rampant. And I think the team and organization wasn't ready to handle that. And I feel differently this year with Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski in a more mature roster.
Scotty, great stuff as always. Keep up the fantastic work there at brownzone.com on Twitter at Scott Petrak. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much.